Welcome, friends, to the God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everyone. The God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 119, the penultimate of season one. Matt, the road to Damascus winds your way now.
This, an episode written by Robert Hall, directed by Emmy winner Kira Sedgwick. The ratings rose to a 1.1 rating with 8.01 million viewers. This definitely, I don't know if it's the highest in both categories, but it certainly is higher than it has been lately. Yes, helped by the old basketball, but people showing up to watch the show live.
They're sticking around. And, you know, much like we talked in the fall, that it would be a true test once football was out of the way, how the audience hung around. And obviously we got the renewal for season two. But now it's telling with the lead in that they get how much they hold over. And the show is peaking, both in terms of ratings and creativity, as we have a little two-week break until the season one finale.
Quick check of the ratings here. This is the fourth episode out of 19 to cross the 8 million viewer mark. So that's really great news, considering the show has been on since September. If you want to count that early August release, you know, there's a worst-case scenario where, oh man, people checked it out in August and then forgot about it and things like that. The opposite has occurred. There were strong numbers when it premiered. Obviously, nothing quite since that series premiere high. But the show's in a fantastic place as we look ahead to this episode, as we look ahead to the season finale, and then we look ahead to season two.
8 million viewers. Let's take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode. Karen knocks on Miles' door to talk and apologizes. They had a deal, and she should have told him about her story so they could change it. They need to figure out a way to move forward, except Miles has a Freeverse meeting he's supposed to be excited about, but things change. Rakesh goes to see Simon Hayes with the big project team from Palo Alto there, but there's been a leak to a reporter, Kara Bloom. Perhaps he knows her? Oh, wait, he does. Simon fires Rakesh to protect the project at its critical juncture. 8 months of testing in trial phase leading up to now. He can drop his badge off with the receptionist. Kara's boss wants the article before the gala tomorrow night.
The Freeverse lady reports at lunch that the Millennial Prophet is the number one new podcast on their platform. Miles tells her about Kara's scoop, but they're supposed to have exclusivity. There's only one solution. Go home and record a new episode now and unmask the God account. At home, Miles records and pours from the heart. It's all coming crashing down. But then inspiration. He gets a notification that the God account has checked in, a first, at Camp Mackinac.
At Allie's bar, Miles tells Allie and Rakesh, who's already drinking because of his firing, the Reverend Finer stops by while he's awaiting the bishop election results. They catch him up and, what do you know, he was planning on heading upstate to clear his head before the election winner is announced. On the ride, Dad shares he told Trish he loves her. At least one of the finer men is headed in the right direction. Kara texts the third she sent and wants Miles to call. Unable to reach Miles, Kara catches up with Rakesh and he confronts her on Simon's accusation and his subsequent firing. It's not about the job, but it feels like it's all coming to an end. He has to go meet Jaya.
At a gas station, a kindly serviceman tells the Finers that Camp Mackinac shut down 30 years ago. They talk about the Apostle Saul's experience on the road to Damascus, which led to his epiphany. Unlike Saul, however, there's no road to the camp anymore. But there is a diner, though, with one of the best apple pies that the Reverend Finers ever tasted. Over it, he explains he once had an assistant priest position interview lined up in Chicago. The moment he met Miles' mother, however, he knew she was the one, but the chances of her following him to Chicago were none. On the way out of town for the interview, he stopped at that very diner. He saw a family there and had his epiphany, like when their waitress tells them the Camp Mackinac closed when a little girl drowned.
Jaya just finished her first 24-hour medical rotation, so Rakesh doesn't want to burden her with talk about Simon and the God account. He just wants to have lunch with his girlfriend. But hey, isn't that Priya? She just got back into town from Paris, where she was looking for Henry Chase, to see Rakesh, and they don't have much time. She knows all about the gala. Rakesh is convinced it's about the God account. Of course, Priya left a bunch of stuff out last time, so it's best if she just shows them. Kara meets up with Mom and just wants a sympathetic ear. She feels she has just as much right to the story as Miles. Her mother asks if it's only about Miles, since she gave up the big promotion to tell stories about how they're helping people. She may not have written the story yet because it's not the one she really wants to tell.
Miles tells his father how his podcast is blowing up on Freeverse, but he's unhappy, especially with the pressure to name Simon as the man behind the God account. The Reverend Finer asks him if he had one wish, what would it be? To go back to the way they were before they found out who was behind it. He doesn't want to know anymore, doesn't care. Crazy? No, it's faith. All the people they've helped, his relationship with Kara, nothing has to change if he holds on to it. Maybe the account needs him to know that. It can't be the only reason that they're at the camp. What would Saul say? Wait, is that Cabin 9? As in Chapter 9, telling of Saul's conversion?
Priya takes Rakesh and Jaya to the office she rented with Simon and Henry to change the world. That photo there was taken the day Henry cracked predictive analytics. The Juliet code is named after his sister who died in an accident. Simon stole Juliet. Priya wants help to take it away from him. Priya loves Henry and wants to help him come out of hiding. But they're gonna have to trust her. The gala is at 8. At Camp Mackinac, there's not much in the cabin besides the names of kids scrawled on a wall. It's like a timeline until 1989. Who's this Juliet Chase? Priya told Miles Henry's sis died, but never how. The camp closed when the girl drowned. He needs to warn Kara.
At Catapult, Miles can't find Kara, but does find the editor-in-chief, who's a big fan of the Millennial Prophet. Miles doesn't want Kara to publish her article, but she did an hour ago. It's already trending. The editor tells Miles he should check it out. It sure surprised him. Rakesh comes clean to Jaya, making his firing real, but she says he can't give up. He is going to do something crazy nobody would try. Going to see Simon, he tips him off about Priya to force him to take precautions that will give Rakesh a way to hack in at the gala. Ali reads Kara's article aloud to Miles and his father, and it's about Miles. He still can't find Kara, but Dad has faith. Kara comes in. She doesn't think she works at Catapult anymore. She's okay about the job, not about them. Rakesh arrives and Miles tells him about Juliet. Rakesh says they're going to steal the God account. Dressed to the nines, Kara plugs in range extenders and Rakesh texts. With the attack underway, Miles kisses Kara to keep Rakesh from being seen. All the files get deleted, though, but Simon says this wasn't this thing they keep talking about called a God account, rather a revolutionary algorithm that was going to solve problems seismic to environmental. They were going to change the world! As he storms off, Miles gets a new friend suggestion, one Simon Hayes.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, your thoughts here that Kara essentially kind of comes clean and says, hey, I think I was wrong to put my career ahead of my relationship with you.
I did not see it that way, nor will I see it that way. To me, it was more of her sorting out the professional and the personal. She did nothing wrong. She should be accused of doing nothing wrong. Equally, Miles ate some crow in this episode. So, yeah, I remain firmly Team Kara, Team Journalism.
How about this notion that, you know, the show has pretty ably had this sleight of hand of Simon Hayes not talking about the project that he's working on. And I think that it was an effective and not altogether mind-blowing switcheroo that, oh, it's actually not the God account. But let me put it this way, Pete. How badly has Miles hurt, I don't know, humanity taking this predictive analytic algorithm off the table that could have saved lives in earthquake zones and fire planes and things like that?
Well, listen, that's why he's the season one finale's friend suggestion, right? To fix that. I mean, if we can get Kara and Miles back together in the very first scene of this episode after the last scene of last episode and they're officially on the outs, then surely we can have some kind of meeting between Miles, Rakesh, Kara, Simon, putting it all on the table, laying it out. Oh, it was just a misunderstanding. And now we change the world. And wait, you need server power to figure out this, how do you say, God account?
How about, Pete, and this is a little bit of a geographic, easy lob down the middle here. Reverend Finer talks about going for a nice long drive to clear his mind. He lives in Harlem. Is he going to go for a nice easy drive south into Manhattan and or, you know, the Jersey City, Newark area? Probably not. Is he going to drive west and deal with the Long Island Express? Pardon me, drive east and deal with the Long Island Expressway? Probably not. Pete, don't people who live in the northern end of Manhattan Island, when they fancy a long drive, don't they go for a drive upstate?
Yeah, but I found it, again, within the constraints of the story to do that. And I like what they built in as far as the epiphany of wanting a family, that going to Chicago was too much, that he knew what he had to do. And I think at the core of this episode, epiphany, the concept of realization of what things are, the realization at the end, the epiphany that this is not the God account that got taken. Whew, goodness, but it was this other thing that could maybe have as much an effect, if not more.
Pete, what theories do you have lined up there?
The Freeverse taking off of Miles' podcast as Kara is preparing her story. You know, we talk on some of our other Fantastic Geek podcasts about the story clock. Felt they really amped it up here. Oh, and the gala tomorrow night at 8. Oh, and Priya's back in town. I mean, of any story yet this season, it felt like there were so many demands on the narrative in this episode. And then for characters to say, it feels like season one is coming to an end. I mean, this is all coming to an end.
It did cross my mind that there's elements of this story that could have been, you know, if that phone call came around episode 13, hey, we're taking you to 20 episodes, but we're not renewing you. There are threads here that could have set up, that could have been in the series finale, the season one series finale, whether it was episode 119 or 120, just in terms of, oh, hey, we've stopped this guy. Wait. No, the thing is still out there. We can still continue to do good, even if the show is not going to continue. What's interesting is that they've now very smartly backed themselves out of the corner of, all right, we've identified who has the account prior to this episode. who has the account, how he runs it. He wants to do something. He wants to take it public. And now it's just completely been sprung inside out in a way that will allow for an evolution, not just for the next episode, but next season, while still remaining true to the original premise.
Matt, I believe you have a little bit of podcasting experience. In fact, I believe you're closing in on a decade in this format, if I'm not mistaken.
About eight years.
Yeah, I thought you went back with looking back at Lost a little bit longer than that. Yeah, only 8 years, not into 2010. Yeah.
Well, you know what? There were some furtive starts before looking back at Lost that no longer exist on the internet. But closer to 10 years than not. How about that?
Don't tempt our listeners to find it, Matt. You know somebody's got it out there. It's rattling around some you know, third generation iPod out there. I just know it is. I mean, if we're on Jorge Garcia's iPod already, you know we're someplace else.
Fair enough. But so yes, I do have a little podcasting experience. What would you like to know, young man?
So it wasn't a rant, but it was a heartfelt moment that Miles broke down as he's recording his big confessional about, you know, the God account. That thing's still in the chamber, or did he delete that?
That's an interesting question, in part because the show, more in the first half of the season, but the show occasionally falls into the trap of treating podcasting like it is this, like it's, you know, drive time radio, and what you just said is now out there. And that's not every time. I'm certainly, you know, he'll say something, then he'll be like, you know, he'll hit the stop button, take his headphones off. It's a little bit different than like, and we're clear, go to commercial, that kind of thing.
He doesn't edit for like 5 days afterward either, which I don't understand.
Pete, the good ones do, you know, LTT, live to tape. Other people, yes. We have some podcasting colleagues out there who bemoan that it takes 5 days to edit. Instead, you just, Pete, you edit ahead of time. We see Miles editing in real time. He takes a couple of pauses. He does something that, Pete, is a lesson I learned. Okay, I was a wayward young man before I found more pure forms of entertainment when I was a high schooler. Okay, there was Howard Stern. Okay, I was buying the book, etc. I saw the movie. What's one of the lessons from that? You always speak from the heart. That's more honest. Miles does that. But now your question is, does he then press upload? I have to think no, and here's why. Because he was told, go beat that exclusive. Go announce that Simon Hayes is in charge of the account. And he didn't do that. And then we didn't see consequences from Freeverse Lady. Could we in the next episode? Maybe, if we're kind of writing this as a soft part one, part two. But it just seems like he didn't. Or if he did, then it didn't have a ton of impact on his kind of Freeverse portion of his world.
Yet another pressing story point in this episode is the looming election for Reverend Finer. So, got to get those results in the season finale, right?
Pete, it's less than 48 or 36 or 24 hours away. I think we had 48 hours away last week and 24 hours this week. But yeah, I feel like the show, confident in the knowledge of a renewal, which really, really is a gift. I mean, you think of how would this show have been different if it was like, the network is feeling good, which is standard network BS for we're in charge. Go take a jump off a pier. We're not going to tell you until we're ready because we're in charge and you're not. You only make a TV show. You don't fund it, et cetera, et cetera. How would the finale have been different? Well, it's better now knowing that you can set up the next chapter in all these people's lives, including probably the elevation. I mean, I can't imagine they're going to be like, oh, sorry, you didn't make it. You need to go back to the circle that you were on for the first season, except you don't even have the who's this guy coming in to replace me? Why are there secrets? Oh, the secret is I'm headed places. Of course he's getting elected next episode, Pete.
So we have that. We also have the re-emergence, reappearance of Priya, what with these last two episodes. And you can only bet that she's going to appear. And thank goodness Parminda Nagar has been able to come back into the fold here. I mean, anytime I see her on these shows that we've podcast, Matt, it's always cause for celebration. But damn if she doesn't one-up herself each time. This Priya, she cannot be trusted. And what does she do? She out-double-crosses Rakesh.
She does. It's great to see her back on screen. Pete, I'm holding out hope that though we are going to meet the creator of the God account in this next episode, I'm hoping that we get another surprise character. Don't know the character name, but I hope he's played by Johnny Coyne, and we can continue a mild Alcatraz reunion here. But Priya was originally presented as this rather straightforward, helpful force that, you know, enters the story to give a trajectory correction to our heroes, and they leave better for it because of her. Instead, she has her own agenda, her own plans, and her own twists and turns.
It's delightful in the little screen time that she has to have such an enormous ripple effect through the rest of the narrative. And when you consider, again, all this stuff coming to a head as the season comes to a close, it's remarkable to think about the impact that she's had.
It definitely is. And I think that it's benefited from a smart use of her character, which is not always on screen. She's kind of anticipated by reputation or known after the fact by reputation, but not in as many episodes as she's been mentioned.
And I think that brings me to the next point. Given how little we've been able to take her at face value, for her to tell Rakesh she loves Henry, wants to help him be able to come out of hiding, this stuff about the Juliet code, can we believe her, Matt? I just don't know. How many times can Priya trick us? She's like the Loki of the God Friend and Me universe.
Well, I think of that upward lift that the show wants to leave us with theoretically each week, you know, most of the time, unless it's breaking up Miles and Kara and breaking all our hearts. I think also too, you know, do we set up some sort of situation where Simon Hayes, the ostensible bad guy, now revealed here to not be, or at least presumably. Yes, Priya is all concerned about his monetizing of this kind of, shall we say, natural disaster account, which I don't know is the worst thing in the world. I mean, I'd like to think that our society can be more altruistic than it is now. I like to think that we are in an altruistic direction, although it doesn't always feel that way day to day, year to year. But also, I you know, life is getting better. Life is better than it was 100 years ago, 200 years ago, etc. Flip side, we also live in a capitalist society where if Simon Hayes wants to invest all this effort into something to save people from natural disasters, then, you know, the way capitalist society works is he gets rewarded for that if it's successful. To me, I don't see some sort of moral quandary with, and then he sells it to the highest bidder, because presumably over time this becomes something that impacts a lot of people. For Priya to try and stop that, are we setting up the possibility that maybe she is a season two multi-episode villain where, you know, again, Simon Hayes was never the black-hatted evil person, but is she going to be this force of opposition increasingly in the multiple episodes to come?
I have to wonder, too, if he really has what he's just told them he has, or is this some kind of vaporware? Is this like the woman who was the biotech face of a company who's saying, you know, we're going to have the thing that sniffs out cancer that winds up not existing, and they bilk these investors. Could Simon not be as altruistic or as truthful as he says? I mean, there has to be this reason why Priya's been fixated with thwarting him.
I have a hard time believing that Simon Hayes, in his fictional world of God Friend and Me, is as full of baloney, and I mean the other stuff, as Elizabeth Holmes was with Theranos, where there never was a thing. There never was a product there. There really was only the twisted, perhaps maniacal, likely criminal belief that they could come up with a thing if they wanted it hard enough and got enough people to believe it. Pete, Theranos and Elizabeth Holmes, it was the ultimate stage production of Peter Pan. And if we all clap enough, then Tinkerbell comes back to life. Those people are out there. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Some of them go quite far in this world sometimes, even farther than Elizabeth Holmes has.
You mean fire at your fest?
I could think of some other baloney artists who have done quite well recently, but I digress. Back to the fictional world. I think to reveal that Simon Hayes is just another one of those, you know, one of those people who's about the razzle dazzle, whether it's the Silicon Valley razzle dazzle or the Manhattan razzle dazzle of, you know, well, if we pack together all these bad securities, it can be a good thing to make money. You know, like, I don't think that's this show. I think of all the people who have said, hey, I want X and you want Y. I think back to the episode where the building got sold. And it was like, yes, the father in that episode was somebody who we felt in opposition to, we the audience, certainly everybody who lived there. But, you know, I mean, in actuality, and it stinks for them, but, you know, in actuality, guy wants to sell a thing he owns. You know, okay, that's how it goes sometimes, and that's unfortunate. Luckily, the episode found a way out of it, but, you know, he's not necessarily a villain in terms of, you know, because I'm, you know, at night I kill and will kill again. So same thing here with Simon Hayes. That's not this show where it's going to be, oh, Simon Hayes actually is full of it, and his thing to predict earthquakes was actually a way to, you know, Superman 3 style, add a fraction of a penny at the end of each credit card transaction, and then we're going to keep all that money so that we can spend it on ladies of the night and drugs from Colombia.
Well, now that we have Henry Chase coming, that we've had Derek Luke announced as the actor who will play Henry Chase, at least in the season one finale, Matt, I mean, we're going to learn a whole lot more there.
Is that, Pete, the season one finale entitled Que Sera Sera, written by No Name Released, directed by No Name Released, shrouded in mystery, though it is less than 2 weeks out?
The same, to be broadcast on Palm Sunday of all Sundays. Hosanna, Matt.
Pete, Hosanna in the highest. And yeah, it's just scheduling sense, right? And again, you know, looking at where the ratings were, a bit of viewership, maybe yes, maybe no. Certainly post-football, all right, how strong is this show going to do? It definitely makes sense, I would argue, from my Monopoly money perspective, to do 20 episodes instead of 22. But, you know, that said, if this thing was gangbusters, all right, it could have been 24. But it being at this really solid ratings place that it is, all the more reason to say, hey, we have these 20 episodes. Let's do a stutter step here. Let's do a couple weeks off there and end on a religious holiday.
Let's remember too, Matt, the world gets a whole lot smaller in this Fibonacci spiral when you go into Derek Luke's IMDb page and realize that he was in Captain America, the First Avenger.
Wow. I guess that is ultimate proof that hashtag it's all connected. Will we have the grand reveal that post-snap, Thanos escapes to the world of God Friended Me?
I don't know. What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, first tweet from Pete. That's Peter, a.k.a. at TweetScala. Well, that episode was the best one yet. Hashtag GodFriended Me. I can't wait to reflect on it by listening to Fantastic Geek, my new favorite podcast.
I mean, that's just humbling to hear that there. No pressure, Matt.
We also have a tweet from our pal Bob Keeley, who says, nice reference to Saul's road to Damascus. After my criticism last week, I better call out the good ones. So, Pete, Bob wants to keep it fair. He wants to keep those scales of justice even.
And I think it was a very measured way to bring it in, not heavy-handed.
Well, Pete, as we get ready for the next week off and then the last week of God Friend Me this season, want to remind all our listeners to check us out on iTunes. We particularly love those reviews. Pete, it's like manna from heaven and also a way for us to shoot to the top of our own free verse, which is, you know, iTunes, the main place to get podcasts, at least for many a device.
We've been close to the top. We've never been all the way to the top. We've never been number one, Matt, but this ain't exactly free verse when you're talking about the iTunes top 200. But your ratings, which take a second, help us gain that momentum. And your reviews, Matt, go so much further. So thanks for even considering taking the time to do either or both.
The support always appreciated, and a reminder that we are, of course, listener supported by those who go to patreon.com/fantasticgeek. For as little as less than a cup of coffee, people are helping keep the Fantastic Geek family of podcasts flying high.
In fact, as a Patreon exclusive, we have our Shazam review available now. Just takes a dollar to get you in the door. That's the smallest contribution the platform allows, and you get oodles of exclusive content. So head to patreon.com/fantasticgeek to check that out.
And of course, Pete, the best treat is being able to talk to you on Twitter, and that's a freebie. How can people do so?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKetelaar, KetelaaR, 10,386 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, on Instagram, on Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with a PH, all one word, like it today.
Well, Pete, over on the Pop Culture Podcast feed, we have a busy week ahead of us. We will be talking some Cloak and Dagger that airs on Thursday, some Star Trek Discovery that airs on Thursday, and some more Shazam for everybody with some Shazam feedback later this upcoming weekend, too. Then, you know, then we shall rest on the seventh day. Then before you know it, it'll be the next week with all of that again, maybe minus some Shazam, back with some God Friend and Me ahead of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back in May. So super exciting times. Also, Pete, maybe some secret goodies ahead, tipping our hand for our own future fall plans. We got to talk about that at some point, but that's not now. Now's the time where I say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting."